Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We got an email here from Rebecca. She writes, "Hey guys, hope you're both doing well. I read this article in the ABA Journal a while back." Who reads the ABA Journal, by the way?
Future lawyers.
Yeah, seriously. "A while back, when first researching personal statement help, and thought it might be worth putting on into the LSAT podcast, either for your listeners. Feel free to omit the detailed descriptions." Okay. All right. So this is tips. Let's see. Here's the title of this: 10 Tips for Better Legal Writing by Brian A. Garner. Okay. Brian Garner, by the way, many of you probably have never heard of him, but he's the author of, or at least the editor for, Black's Law Dictionary, which you will definitely hear about.
Wow.
He's done a lot for legal writing. I worked for one of his main competitors, Ross Guberman. Ross is amazing as well. So if you're looking for books on legal writing, check out Brian Garner and check out Ross Guberman.
So some of these are going to probably be useful for personal statements. Some of them won't really be useful until you start writing legal briefs, but
sure. Okay. Number one, be sure you understand the client's problem. I guess we could kind of translate that into, make sure you understand the admissions office's problem.
Oh yeah. That's actually super powerful. I mean, I was going to say, you know, make sure you read the prompt. Make sure you respond to the prompt. You probably are just going to have one personal statement that you're going to send to all of your schools, but you should just make sure you're reading each prompt for every question on the entire application. But I like it in an even broader sense. What are these documents going to be used for? Like, your client in this case is the law school.
Yep.
And their problem is they've got a stack of applications and they're not going to admit everybody in the stack, and they need you to give them a reason to admit you, or like make it look like you're going to be, what do they want, Ben? Ultimately, what do they want?
They want a professional who's going to come to school and do the shit that lawyers do and succeed.
Yeah. They don't want a kid. They want the finished product. They want a lawyer.
Yep.
Eventually, they're going to turn you into a lawyer. Lawyers are very serious, focused, driven, even super hardworking, boring. Like,
no drama. Just get the work done.
No drama. You want to present yourself as somebody who is going to kill it in the legal world.
They want to be confident that if they accept you, the dean isn't going to come back and say, "Who the fuck accepted Joe? Because Joe is a pain in the ass for our school. He's not doing well. He's complaining to the administration," whatever.
And then they look at your personal statement and it says "fucking" in it.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh. Remember that one from Thinking LSAT a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are errors of judgment that you could put into this document. I mean, you got to think that this document, sure, fine, probably nobody ever is going to read it again, but it is going to stay in your file. And, you know, like the admissions, yeah, the person who's going to admit you is like, look at this professional document that someone, that this person wrote. This is going in their file. This is who we admitted. I'm not going to lose my job over this person. Yeah, that's what we're going for.
Okay. Tip number two, don't rely exclusively on computer research. I'm not too sure how this would apply to someone writing a personal statement, but it might not hurt to talk to people at schools that you're serious about going to, alum, students, just see if it's really a school that fits what you want. Number three, never turn in a preliminary, I really struggle. Never turn in preliminary, God damn it.
Professional podcaster, Ben Olson.
As some part of his brain has been like destroyed. Never turn in a preliminary version. I can't say it, man. They say it for me. And then I'll have it.
Preliminary?
Fuck. Okay. Don't turn in a first draft of a work in progress.
You can sound it out, Ben. Preliminary.
That's my problem, dude. I can't sound out things. I just remember them. Preliminary. Preliminary.
There it is.
Yeah, preliminary. Okay. Never turn in a preliminary version of a work in progress.
This is a really good tip, actually.
This is a really good tip, even though I couldn't fucking say it.
Got it out. Yep.
I feel like this happens on the show all the time. It's like, what are you sending us? Why?
That's a good point. People send in like, hey, look at this god-awful first draft that I wrote and didn't edit once. Will you guys read it on the show? And it's like, okay, no. Like, not if it's just total trash. Why wouldn't you, like, because here's the thing. If you send us shit and we just say, we look at it and we're like, well, it's total garbage and you start over.
Yep.
Then we're less inclined to look at it the next time you send it to us.
Yeah.
And we're certainly not going to go three rounds with you on it. I mean, some very rare exceptions where we might invite that, but like, you know, you got to respect people's time. So you want to send us the best, like, get it to where you think you're about to apply.
Yep.
And then send it to your boss in this case.
Well, that's also where you're going to learn the most, right?
Why
would you want to do a shitty job, get feedback on it, and half that feedback is going to be like, oh yeah, I guess I knew that. If I just read it more.
Like, it is mildly insulting when people send in stuff that has grammar mistakes, spelling mistakes, typos, weird, and you know, that kind of shit is like, boy, you don't respect our time more than that.
Yeah, and you could have easily fixed this with Grammarly or something else.
Yeah.
Okay, number four, summarize your conclusions up front. That's not really applicable to personal statements.
That might be in a legal brief. I can certainly see why you would want to say this case must be dismissed on these grounds as like a first sentence.
Oh, this is weird. This is taking me back to when I was doing legal right consulting. This is so true, because think about how many memos you write in law firms. You're writing to a partner. They don't want time wasted getting to your conclusion. Like, should we, is it, what's up?
You don't need to take me on the whole journey. I want to know what your answer is.
Yep.
Then take me on the journey. Give me your answer again.
Yep.
But on a personal statement, you basically don't, there is no answer. There's no conclusion. I mean, we know what your conclusion is, which is you should admit me to your law school.
Exactly.
You don't need to say that. So you don't, it's just a different style of document.
Yep.
Basically, on personal statements, omit all conclusions.
Yes.
Omit.
Yep.
Facts only, no conclusions.
Number five, okay. Make your summary understandable to outsiders. Okay, the summary, okay, that's not really applicable either here. Although we could extrapolate and just say, stop using words that are unique to your domain. Make your personal statement understandable to the average Joe.
Right. I mean, we just were recording Thinking LSAT, where we went through a whole bunch of personal statements. And I would say half of those personal statements probably had jargon in them that would not be. I mean, remember, like, the hiker was talking about a 14er. Mm-hmm. I think that same personal statement was talking about GORP.
Yeah.
Like, what? Don't throw in weird shit. We don't know what it means. Yep. Oh, wait. What was the other one? Anyway.
Harangue,
we were like meant to infer what you're doing instead of you actually explaining what you're doing. That's not good.
Not good.
Okay.
Number six, don't be too tentative in your conclusions, but don't be too cocksure either. Okay.
Can
again,
we say cocksure these days? Is that really a word that we're going to keep going with? I mean, I understand that it is a word in the English language. I'm going to look up cocksure. Cocksure is presumptuously or arrogantly confident. Wow, the example is, quote, the cocksure golf prodigy from California.
Oh, there, Nathan. Is that you?
Tiger Woods. No, I was never cocksure on the golf course. I suck and I know it. Tiger Woods, when he was winning three U.S. amateurs in a row and like immediately going out on the PGA Tour and winning the Masters and shit, he was a cocksure golf prodigy. Because he deserved to be presumptuously or arrogantly confident. Anyway.
Again, this is good advice for legal practice, right? When you're writing a memo, again, this is what most of you are going to be doing when you first start your jobs. you don't want to write to the partner and say, well, on the one hand, it could be this, or on the other hand, it could be that. But so you want to say, this is what I think the outcome is. At the same time, you don't want to be so overly confident that now we don't trust your sensitivity to the potential pitfalls.
Clearly, obviously, there's only one side in this case.
Yeah.
Don't do that either.
Yeah.
I mean, you can state your, if you're pretty sure you know the answer, you can state the answer and your reasoning, how you got to that answer.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need all the editorialization around it to like make it look like this is the only possible conclusion that could be reached.
And you should raise conclusions. Maybe say, hey, I think this is the likely outcome, but I realize in some cases we may lose because of this, this, or that.
Yep.
Anyways, number 7, strike the right professional tone, natural but not chatty. Okay, I think that's great advice for personal statements as well. Use natural, normal language, but what was the word we saw today? It was too chatty. I can't remember what it was now, but sometimes people get too friendly.
The example here is in a professional email, people writing the letter U instead of the word
God.
U.
Yeah, you have to realize you're going into a profession that's older than a lot of other professions, let alone you, right?
Yeah. Well, also, don't email the way you would text. And
just stop texting that way, too.
Well, yeah, I agree. Stop texting that way because the lawyers that I know don't text that way.
No.
Like, the lawyers that I know text in complete sentences and definitely not like little shorthand stuff like that. Lawyers are good at typing. The lawyers that I know can hammer it out because they're professional writers.
Yep.
So if you're doing weird shorthand shit like that, that's not going to come off as professional at all. No one would ever do that in a personal statement. Although we did have someone use the F word in a personal statement 2 weeks ago on Thinking LSAT, which was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Ross used to always say when it came to writing, he said, you're writing like you speak, but a little more polished. It's just, it's cleaned out, right? Obviously, speech tends to have a lot more words that we don't need, but it's like you're talking, but it's just a slight step above that. Not so far above that you sound like, you know, overly pompous or something.
Write it the way you would speak it, then edit it to clean it up.
Clean it up.
Yeah. All right, 3 more tips.
Yep. Oh, sorry, 8. Master the approved citation form. Okay, that's something for law school.
That's a blue booking thing. That's not applicable.
Okay. 9, cut every unnecessary sentence. Then go back through and cut every unnecessary word. I would add, so this is excellent advice. We see this over and over again where people are repeating themselves. They're saying things they don't need to say. I would add that not only do you need to cut every unnecessary sentence and cut every unnecessary word, you then need to do that 2 more times so that you're doing it at least 3 times. There are so many words that you don't realize can be cut until you've cut the other words around them.
Yeah. I don't do it enough because I've been like lately with my lessons, that's pretty high volume to get one of those out every single week.
Sure.
And I've been basically writing them. I edit it as I write it. I go through it 1.5 times maybe. And then I like just lean on Abigail to, you know, clean it up for me.
Cut, cut, cut. Yeah.
But for you writing a personal statement, you need to do that yourself like several times. There's so much fat. People are like, I can't possibly get it down to 2 pages. And it's like, okay, really? Because if you let me edit it, it would be a paragraph.
Here's a tip for you. Google 10 words or phrases to cut. And you will come across words that you can cut almost every time.
Yeah, like Ben, your favorite one, I think, on the show. You've said it a million times. In order to.
In order to, yep.
You can always replace that with just 2. Okay.
Tip
last
number,
one.
Yep. Tip number 10. Proofread one more time than you think necessary. Okay. That goes along with what we were just saying. Proofread. You guys are, as you always say, this is your first professional document of your legal career. Why fuck it up? Set the stage for the rest of what's going to follow. Thanks for writing in, Rebecca. I don't have anything else to say.
No, that's great.
Yep. If you have something to share with us, like an article such as this one, or you have questions about the LSAT or law school, email us at daily@lsatdemon.com and we'll answer your question. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.